You know, I guess it would be very wonderful to lead somebody to Jesus and to lead that person to the Lord. That would be a tremendous thing. What a blessing it would be. What a thrill it would be as well to do that. Of course, we don't have a chance to do that today, to see the Lord Jesus and bring somebody to Him. I guess I came close to that because at Bible school there was a girl that we were very good friends, not boyfriend and girlfriend, but we would talk together and she would tell me about her boyfriend. Anyway, she told me one day, she said, would you mind taking my daughter to the Billy Graham meeting? I said, I'd be glad to. And, you know, Billy Graham is a man that certainly exemplifies the Lord in every possible way, you know, a real man of God. So I brought her there, and she heard the word of God, and she was saved. So that was a wonderful day, of course, and I had a little part of it just bringing her there, but it was a thrill to know that she heard the word. Well, there's a fellow in the Bible that had four friends, and the Bible doesn't say what his name is, so I guess we have to give him a name. We'll call him Jonathan, and he was crippled, and he was a poor fellow. He was on this thing like a very thin bed. It wasn't much at all, but like I said, he was crippled, and probably because he had done something that was wrong, he was crippled because of sin. Now, why do I say that? Well, there was a lady in the Bible that came to Jesus and wiped his feet with some special ointment, and the Lord did say to her, your sins are forgiven. And you say, well, that doesn't really say that he was a sinner and that was the cause of his being laid up like that. Well, there was another man in the Bible too, and you know the story about the fellow there at Bethesda. He was there for 38 years, and he never had a chance to get into the water, and you know the story there. But this fellow, I don't believe, really was a man that was righteous. And he didn't ever come to know the Lord either, because when the Lord saw him later and said, would you like to be healed? And he said, well, I can't get into the water. He didn't say, oh, boy, that would be wonderful, you know. And so the Lord healed him. And it was on the Sabbath. And the Jews said, well, how come you're taking up that bed of yours? How come you're doing that? Well, this man, you know, he healed me. Well, who is it? I don't know. Wouldn't it be strange that if somebody healed you like that you wouldn't find out who it was? Well, later on, Jesus said, you know, in so many words, straighten up and fly right. In other words, you make sure that you live the way you're supposed to. Otherwise, the worst thing is going to happen to you. Well, I don't think he took that to heart. Right away, he had to go up and tell, you know, you know who it is? It was Jesus that did it. And I don't think he cared much. He was healed and didn't even think about who did it or whatever. So I have an idea that maybe Jonathan was like that. He was crippled because of sin. But there was a difference. You see, this man, Jonathan, I believe he wanted to be forgiven. He wanted to have a new life. And so he had four friends, real good friends, you know. These ones were not fair with other friends, but they were guys that really cared for him. And they were good examples, too. Because, you know, they came to Jonathan and they said, hey, you know what? Jesus has come to town and he's been healing people. Oh, he's wonderful. We'd like to take you to see Jesus. And maybe he balked just a little bit and said, oh, how are you going to do that? You know, I'm kind of heavy. Oh, leave it to us. Maybe they put him on some kind of a thing that looked like a stretcher. They didn't say, you know, Jonathan, we'll take you to a nice place, and maybe that after a while you'll be able to get better a little bit. I didn't say that. I didn't say, well, you know, if you act real nice for 20 or 30 years, maybe you'll be able to feel good again. No, they didn't do that. They wanted to take him to Jesus. Isn't that great? And, you know, one thing about these four men, as they picked up the stretcher, we'll say, And there was one on one side and one on the other in the back. And then there was two guys in the front, and one fellow over here and one over there. You know, one guy never said, hey, I want to be there in the front. And you come over here in the back. No, I got here first. They didn't do that. They all had their special job to do, didn't they? Picking up one end, the other end, front and back. And one guy never said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going home. And that would be leave the brunt to carrying Jonathan with one guy, you know, two in the front, say, and maybe one in the back. Didn't say that. They had a job to do, and they were going to do it. And they had the ability to do it as well. Because I think Jonathan, being a fellow like that, he was at least 170 to maybe 200 pounds, we don't know. And yet they had the ability to do that. Well, they didn't do it for selfish reasons. They all had to work together, didn't they? And this is what we have to do as Christians. We have to work together. No bickering and fighting. Say, he did this and he did that and so on. We've got to work together to bring people to Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Well, some people actually can pray. Some more people can give maybe a little extra. Some people actually can go. And it all ties together, doesn't it? We work together to win people to the Lord Jesus. No selfish motives involved. And we can do that around here. You know, working together here at the church and maybe fixing something that has to be fixed, you know. And boy, when you do that, there's smiles come on your faces because you're working together. Maybe the person down the road, a poor person, you know, his shabby-looking house, and you get down there and you paint it or something. I don't know. But working together is what we have to do to win people to Christ and to see them grow in things of the Lord. Well, these four fellows picked them up, and they didn't stop for a while and go eat a sandwich, you know, at McDonald's or something like that. They didn't do that. They made a beeline to Christ. They knew that if they didn't do that, Jesus would be some other place, you know. And so they had to go and do that right away. Well, you know, when we think of that, we know what the Bible says, that now is the day of salvation. There are people out there that need the Lord, maybe right around your neighborhood. And now is the day of salvation. Because also God's word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We've got to do it when God gives us the opportunity to do it. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. And perhaps you're here and you never trusted the Lord. Don't put it off, because tomorrow he may not work in your heart the way he's doing today, you see. Well, when you want to serve the Lord, there's going to be some difficulties. You can count on it, because the devil doesn't want you to do that. And pretty soon, when you have an opportunity to do something, to witness for the Lord, what's going to happen? Well, you might say, I don't know if I'm going to do that, because he might not want to hear what I have to say. Oh, I don't know if I can tell him about Jesus, because he'll get mad at me. Or, as the king in the Bible, there's got to be a more convenient time, because look, the clouds are up in the sky, and the wind's blowing, it's going to mess up my hair and all that stuff, you know. And then they could even say, I've got other plans. But no, not these four fellows. They made up their mind they were going to bring him to Jesus. They were going to take this fella to see the Lord. Well, they had some difficulties too, didn't they? They picked him up, and pretty soon they came to the house, and people gathered all around. You know, they tried to look in and see what was going on. And so they probably put Jonathan down, and they said, excuse me, but we'd like to bring Jonathan here to see Jesus so he can make him well. Well, you know, I'm not going to get out of the way. I want to see what's going on too, you know. They pick him up and take him over to the other side. Please, we'd like to get in, because Jonathan is crippled. We know that the Lord can make him well. Oh, well, I'm not going to move. You know, I got here first, you know. And things like that. A lot of difficult things were going on. when they remembered that there was a staircase that went up in the back of the house. And sometimes we're not sure it was a staircase. It could have been a step ladder. Now, can you see the difficulty in trying to get Jonathan up this ladder, climbing up there and keeping him from falling and all of that? So it was an effort to do that. And it takes an effort to serve the Lord, doesn't it? We have to do it in God's time and in God's way, and sometimes it really does take an effort. Well, they got up there, and the next thing, of course, what they had to do was to take the roof apart. Well, sometimes these roofs, they do have a trap door, but you can be sure it probably was locked from the inside, maybe wasn't used for a while. But even so, they had to pull these slates, which were quite heavy pieces of slate, in order to get room to lower Jonathan down. And what did they do? They all worked together again to do that. Something difficult, wasn't it? But they did it because they knew that this fellow needed to be healed. He needed to see Jesus. And so that's what they did. They got down there, all four of them, and they started to pull, and the thing started to move. Well, when that happened, of course, you can just imagine, you know, everybody looking up, what did they see? They saw four heads looking down at them. Pretty soon they lowered Jonathan down, and I wonder what went on Jonathan's mind. Maybe he said, how is he going to heal me? And he got down right by the Lord Jesus and saw his wonderful face, that face of peace, the wonderful Lord of all. He saw him face to face. And then he heard him speak, son, your sins are forgiven. You know, he didn't say, hey you. He didn't say something like that. He said, son, a term of endearment, a closeness. He had this concern. And Jonathan was there, and he heard those words, son, your sins are forgiven. Not the people outside, but just him, because they brought him to see Jesus. Well, there were the scribes sitting back there. And these scribes were judges. They were on the Sanhedrin, and they were professional students, and they taught the traditions of the Jews, you know, and they probably had their hands folded like this and said, well, who does he think he is, God or something? Only God can forgive sins. Well, they probably thought, you know, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven. Who can tell by looking at a person whether the sins are gone or not? That's easy. Well, Jesus knew that, didn't he? Because he knows our thoughts as well. And he said, just to show you that I have the authority, the power to forgive sins, Jonathan, or young man, take up that bed and go home. You know, they were right in saying only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is God. A proof right there, wasn't it? And Jonathan did not say, well, I don't feel like it. I'm going to remain here in this stretcher. I'm not going to do that. No. The Lord was offering him newness of life. He's going to be forgiven. Everything gone. His crippledness. As we picture ourselves, one time we were crippled because of sin. Our minds were twisted and wrong. And God forgave us when we came to him and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You died on that cross for me. You shed your blood, and he forgave us. Yes, Jonathan got up, and he left. He didn't say after a while, oh boy, you know, that bed was real nice. I'm going back to it. And we certainly cannot go back to our old manner of living. Once we are in Christ, we press on. Sure, Jesus, in his word, he tells us that when he comes into our lives, he makes it clean. Clean enough for heaven. Well, let's see what we got left here. The scribes had one thought, even though they saw this great and wonderful thing happen. All they could think of is that Jesus spoke blasphemy. They you don't read of them coming to know the Lord. And that's the way it's going to be, and we can't be discouraged. We have to still press on. So what do we see in this story? Well, we see these four men that were dedicated guys. They were determined to get the job done. They had courage because, well, they took that roof apart. You know, again, they're going to have to do something about that, didn't they? Probably had to get up there and fix it themselves. But that wasn't their concern. Obstacles, no concern for them. They wanted Jonathan to be healed. And they went, brought him to Jesus, and he was healed, you see. Well, looks like we are finishing right on time, Pastor. But as we consider the story that's found in God's Word, so many wonderful truths that are found, not only in this passage, every time you read it, you know, you find something different, but in the whole Bible. But let's take what we can from the Word of God and remember to be dedicated people. There are missionaries out there that need your help by your prayers and through your giving. And work together, even around here or elsewhere, all for the cause of leading people to Christ. So once again, Karen and I are very, very glad to have been here. And we continue to pray for you. And we certainly thank the Lord for all of you.